Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
This week from Boothbay Harbor, but first, this caution to our audience.
Would all the children in the room please go into the lobby? The show is taking a turn for the worse.
How could things go so awry, you ask? How could a simple question about terms from the card table go so terribly wrong?
Richard, Tony knows what a kicker is.
It sounds to me like what often happens in a bridge game when you're signaling your partner, you know. How many things? You want to make sure that your schnauzer is not between you and the other person, because then it's a dead giveaway.
I hope your schnauzer is a dog.
Right. Okay, so it's going to be that kind of crowd. I get it. Come play the game with the folks from Maine. Says you, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A hurricane warning is in effect for the Florida Keys, where Isaac is expected to arrive today. The storm is still a tropical storm, but meteorologist Dennis Feltkin at the National Hurricane Center in Miami says Isaac is gaining strength.
Right now, maximum sustained winds are 65 miles per hour. It is slowly but surely getting better organized and a little stronger, and it's quite possible that this could be at or near hurricane strength by the time it makes it to the Keys this afternoon.
Earlier, the storm downed trees and power lines in Cuba and killed at least four people in Haiti. Shannon Novak reports from Miami on what forecasters think will happen next.
It's the sheer size of this storm that makes it ferocious, creating tropical storm force winds over 200 miles from its center. That's why other countries are still feeling its effects, and almost all of Florida's coastline is under some type of hurricane or tropical storm advisory. It's forecast to move over the Keys, yet as far away as Miami and South Florida, wind speeds are forecast to be near 60 miles per hour. These conditions are expected to go on for about 24 hours. Then Isaac moves north, up Florida's west coast, likely becoming stronger in the warm Gulf waters before it makes landfall, perhaps Tuesday night, somewhere in the Florida Panhandle, Alabama, or Mississippi. For NPR News, I'm Shannon Novak in Miami.
Isaac is causing problems for the Republican National Convention in Tampa. It had been scheduled to get underway tomorrow, but activities have essentially been scrapped until Tuesday afternoon. Astronaut Buzz Aldrin says his colleague Neil Armstrong's leap changed the world forever and became a landmark moment in human history. But Armstrong, who died this weekend, was more modest about being the first man on the moon.
It was special and memorable, but it was only instantaneous because yes, there was work to do.
Yeah.
We were there to meditate. We were there to get things done.
Sure.
And so we got on with it.
Armstrong died this weekend. He was 82 years old. He and Aldrin spent nearly 3 hours on the lunar surface back on July 20th, 1969. In his first outing on the mound in more than 5 years, baseball legend Roger Clemens was solid in his debut for a Houston, Texas area minor league team. From member station KUHF, Jack Williams reports.
Clemens, who turned 50 earlier this month, lasted 3 1/3 innings in a start for the Sugarland Skeeters. The 7-time Cy Young Award winner struck out 2 and allowed only 1 hit and no runs against the Bridgeport Bluefish of the Independent Atlantic League. Clemens, who last pitched in the major leagues 5 years ago for the Yankees, threw 37 pitches, 24 for strikes. He looked impressive in front of scouts for several big league teams, including the Houston Astros.
Jack Williams reporting from Houston. You're listening to NPR News. Opposition activists are accusing the Syrian government of President Bashar al-Assad of carrying out summary executions. They say the bodies of dozens of civilians have been found in the streets of Diriyah, a town southwest of Damascus. Also today, Syria's vice president appeared in public for the first time in several weeks, ending rumors that he had defected. Scotland is poised to be the first country in the United Kingdom to legalize same-sex marriage, but Larry Miller reports the move is facing stiff resistance from the country's Catholic hierarchy.
Roman Catholic priests in Scotland are reading out a letter to parishioners today criticizing the Scottish government's plans to legalize gay marriage, church official John Dagan.
We see the politicians here have actually been led by a change in our culture which has forgotten the value of marriage.
But Colin McFarland of gay rights group Stonewall says church leaders are the real problem.
They have used very vitriolic, at sometimes very aggressive and homophobic language in their campaign. And what we're seeing is a disconnect between the Catholic hierarchy and the Catholic laity.
The leader of the Scottish Catholic Church, Cardinal Keith O'Brien, was so angry he broke off discussions with the government last week. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Tropical Storm Isaac is not the only big storm forecasters are keeping an eye on. A strong typhoon is due to move over the southern Japanese island of Okinawa. There are already reports of a few injuries and power outages. Residents are being warned to stay indoors because the typhoon is packing winds strong enough to overturn cars. The typhoon is the 15th of the season, and it's expected to continue into the East China Sea and possibly affect South Korea by Tuesday. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, comes from the Booth Bay Opera House and the good folks at Maine Public Broadcasting, on the web at mpbn.net.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
From the Booth Bay Opera House in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Public radio icon and voice for the ages, Tony Khan. Actress, performer, advocate for adverbs, Lenore Shannon. And writer, lyricist, wit, and scholar, Mr. Murray Horowitz. And who's the captain today?
I've acquired two undeserved titles, scholar and captain.
Captain? Murray will be the captain. To my left, team two, producer, performer, rocketeer, Arnie Riesman. Columnist, critic, pun, and funster, Carolyn Faye Fox. Yes, sir. And executive coach, broadcast legend, the official life of the party, Miss Paula Lyon. Who's leading today?
The life of the party.
There she is. Paula, correct answers are worth 10 points, so whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate, we always advise our new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. This show is about the life of our language, and perhaps no place on earth is as fertile a ground for expanding that language as the card table. As a result of... I see you've had some experience there, sir. As a result of the card table, I can now swear fluently in Dutch. So please tell me what is meant literally and figuratively by the following exclamations. Oh. Carolyn? Mm-hmm. Sandbagging.
Sandbagging.
Sandbagging?
Yes.
Well, figuratively, it means to block something, to set up an obstacle.
Well, actually,
in a card
not
game.
Really, no.
To stop the force of something from going forward.
No, he wants it to refer. You want it to refer to a card game?
Yeah, and also what it means literally. The derivation of this is actually fairly interesting.
It's the hold back water.
He means you wait until the hand is over before you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I go with whatever he
did. Yeah, what he said.
There's a test of the editing process, don't you think?
No, that's
you're stopping the cards from coming.
It's like a cheating, isn't it? Like, I mean, when you sandbag somebody, you really mess them up.
Yeah, or okay, some people say the derivation actually comes from the villain up in the flies of the theater with the sandbag.
Drops the sandbag on the
dropping
head.
The sandbag on you. There's a lot of.
So you're taking him out if you can.
Yeah, that's one of the supposed derivations. But
so is it cheating? Are you actually holding back?
You know, it's not tough to know whether or not to call it cheating. It's more a technique.
Tricking them, fooling them, faking.
It's a bluff.
You know what? I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you 9 points because you're almost there. Help from the other side.
They're doing an ad for deodorant.
It's bluffing, is it not?
It's a certain kind of bluffing where you sort of pretend to have a lower hand than you do, and then you gang up on them at the end.
That's exactly right. Oh, I see. Very good, Murray. That's the.
I knew the derivation of that, by the way, because my head got very flat by getting sandbags dropped on it in a lot of school plays.
Sandbagging is betting low at first with a good hand in order to draw others inexorably into the pot. It means to lie in wait as a villain up in the lights with a sandbag. All right, try this one, Tony. Mm-hmm. What's your ace in the hole?
The dog ate my homework. That's always been my ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Ace in the hole is, you know, it's obviously you're concealing an ace, possibly in your pants or behind a sock. Ace in the hole, what's your ace in the hole? So the last minute, you withhold the ace until, perhaps this is what's that kind of poker that's played with the cards?
With the cards?
He's got a guy,
as opposed to the one played with the andirons?
He's got a guy in the back who seems to be on a bicycle, only there's another guy who seems to be on top of him on a bicycle going the opposite direction.
Right, yes.
Right. They see a blue, red. I don't know.
May I?
Please.
If one has an ace in the hole, one has, first of all, a DVD of a Kirk Douglas movie.
Yeah.
But,
that's true.
An ace in the hole means almost like a secret weapon. It's you've got the winner, but you've got it concealed. So that's what it means in life. In a card game, though, it literally means in a game of stud poker, your down card
that's
is
the
an
word
ace.
I was looking
what?
For.
Right.
Yeah. I think we found Murray's category. 10 points.
You could sand. One could sandbag with an ace in the hole.
Yeah. Yes, one could.
Well, in stud poker, some cards are played face down, as we know, and if one of those cards down is an ace, you have an ace in the hole. Try this one, Arnie. Literal and figurative meaning of on the bubble.
On the ball?
On the bubble.
On the bubble.
Yes.
On the bubble.
And I know I'm going to get a lot of mail on this, on the derivation, but we had two or three different derivations. I'm going to give the one that we bought. And then you can tell us why we're wrong.
Does it mean to be on the edge of just being just about to lose really, really big or being about to win really, really big?
You know, that's exactly right, yes.
Okay, well,
good.
There is that.
Because I just made it up.
That's pretty good.
That's going to take you a long way there, actually.
Right.
Do you know specifically in cards where this comes in?
Hell no.
No, okay. Not a clue. Not a clue.
Well, in tournaments, only so many players, tournament poker, only so many players are paid. Say, for example, 10 players make the final round. The 11th player is on the bubble. Do you have any idea where this may have come from?
Playing poker in a tub.
I was going to say that, bubble bath.
Anyone in the audience want to guess where this might come from? No? There you go. Carpenter's turn.
Oh,
on
the level.
From a carpenter's level, if the carpenter's level is exactly even, if you're exactly even, the bubble's right in the middle.
Yeah.
If it's a little up, you are on the bubble, and
that's it.
A little down, you're off the bubble. That's where it comes from.
I'd have a better chance with the definition.
Lenore, I'm so sorry I have to give this one to you. What might be meant literally and figuratively by a suck out? S-U-C-K-O-U-T. So sorry.
Does it have anything to do with luring someone to show something they otherwise would have concealed?
No, it has to do with the money in the pot.
No, not
okay,
really.
It doesn't have to do with the money.
This has to do with...
absolutely nothing.
Just a horrible, horrible thing. It's just a horrible situation.
Is it a it's a poker thing.
It is.
Does it involve cheating?
It does not. No, actually. No. It does not involve...
I thought it was like a buyout where you get...
You're right in one...
Is it when you draw people into something where you're going to cheat them knowingly? Is it when you...
No.
When you,
it's not cheating.
It's not cheating. No, it's not cheating at
when
all.
When you raise the bet so much that the other person can't afford it and he still is committed.
What a great guess. That's not it. No. It's a great guess, though. And I'm going to give you 6 points for your effort because Murray is right. That it is about, drawing something out. But anyone want to take a guess at this? Anyone know the term? Mm-mm. Okay, you're holding three queens. You know the other guy is drawn for the four in a 2-3-4-5-6 straight, and he hits. That's a suck out. You've been sucked into the pot. He draws it back out.
Richard, you're even more alone in this crowd.
Yeah, you were. You're on your own, man. You got your own show over there.
That's what it is.
Well, that may be what it is.
There once was a man with a suck out.
Yeah. You know,
I would like another question.
All right, that's a suck out. I know that the audience didn't like it. The panel didn't like it. And I hope you at home didn't like it. Because that's exactly what it feels like when it happens to you. Try this one, Paula. What might be known, what might be meant literally and figuratively by the kicker?
Okay, the kicker is the last play, I'm guessing. But you're talking to someone who can't tell you which is better, a straight flush or four aces, or I have no clue what any of this means.
You knew a straight flush and four aces.
I have no, but I know I don't know how to define them. I don't know what they are, and I don't know which one wins
if
over
she
which
has
one.
Straight flush, she takes medication.
Well.
And it clears up.
Oh, yeah, it's just a... Well, the kicker, is it the final boo-boo, whatever?
Well, in a way, it's the final boo-boo, whatever, yeah. It's got a lot of that whoever kind of thing in it.
Yeah, it's got the who's the what's in McCollin.
I'm
like when
sure.
You lay down the last card and it trumps the other guy?
Yeah, well, no, not, that's not exactly right, but there is something about, I know the other...
The kicker, is it when you take the pot and go home and don't allow anybody else to play?
I'm going to give them... It is
the final boo boo.
It is about that card, that final coup de grace. I'm going to give you 4 points.
Okay.
Go to
that
card player over there
charity.
With his hand up.
Murray, can you help him out?
Figuratively, it means the little something extra that you pull out, that you bring to any enterprise or any company that wins. Mm-hmm. And the kicker is when you have, generally speaking, though not always, a low hand, like let's say a pair, and you're tied with somebody else who has an equivalent pair, your highest next card, say it's a king. Your king is your kicker, which beats the other guy's nine.
That's exactly
or the other
right.
gal's nine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is. Did anyone know what the kicker was?
Game.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Richard, it's funny. This just never comes up in solitaire.
Yeah, you never have a kicker in solitaire.
That's my proficiency right there.
Yeah. If two
in
players,
solitaire, the kicker is the second person.
If two players each produce the same winning hand, say a pair of aces, the winner is the one with the next highest card. Aces with a king kicker would win over aces with a jack.
I just wonder why I've been losing all this money all these years.
And finally, Murray, what might be meant by literally and figuratively by a dirty stack?
Oh. Well, I mean, I think a dirty stack is a fixed deck. I think when somebody...
It is not.
All, it's not, okay?
No?
A dirty stack. It's usually the dishes in my kitchen.
Yes, exactly.
A dirty stack. No idea.
Any well, the chips are poker chips are stacked,
that's
so
oh,
it's got to have something to do with the
colors.
Chips.
Maybe you
different,
mix
too many different.
Your nickels
you don't keep them neatly on the.
Yeah,
tape?
That's exactly right. Why would you do that?
Confuse people so no one could count them.
Nobody. Nobody knows how much money you got.
You know what? No 10 points. Very good. That's it. Nice job.
See, I didn't know that because I never have more than a couple of chips.
Yes.
A dirty stack of chips is a stack of chips apparently of a single denomination, but with one or more chips of another, usually the result of inattention while stacking a pot, but it also may be an intentional deception to try and keep people from knowing how much you got in your stack. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Frank Farrell and the Farrell Cats. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Paula, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot good enough to fool Murray's team. 10 points up for grabs to Murray, if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Paula, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word love it. L-O-V-A-T, love it. Folks? What begins in Nashville, rolls through Hartford and Milwaukee, careens through Syracuse, and finally comes to rest in Boston? It's our fall caravan of cajolery, live performances of Says You. It begins the first weekend in September in Nashville, Tennessee. In October, there are stops in Hartford, Connecticut, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In November, we're on the campus of Syracuse University for some salty language, a Says You salute to the Salt City. Then in Boston, the weekend of December 29th, we close the year with the performance we call In the Great Mayan Bay. Because we figure if the world's going to end, we're going out loud. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Where if you simply follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. Says You returns after this from home. Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. Feral Cats. Thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word love it. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Love it. Love it is the Scottish version of camouflage. It is a tweedy, dark green color that blends with the landscape. To use it in a sentence, I just love that dress. It doesn't make anybody look fat.
Blend with
That's the definition, I'm sorry?
That's the definition.
Can we vote now?
Yeah. Kind of a tweedy color, a dark green.
The Scottish version of camouflage.
Ah,
a
Scottish
tweedy,
camouflage.
Dark green color that blends with the landscape.
Ah, Scottish camouflage. A dark green color blends in with the heath and the heather. That could be it. Or, Arnie, something else.
I don't know where this is from, but it's a dance that starts out with three people holding hands, and then requires a series of intricate steps to the music changes to eliminate one of the dancers and end up with only two.
Oh, yeah. What?
Like a left hook.
You have to know how to play the dance, how to do the dance, and if you don't, you're out.
It starts as a threesome.
Starts as a threesome and ends up as a twosome.
Okay, simple enough. Dance starts out with three people, ends up with two people.
You know, you got a small group over. It's, you know.
It's kind of involving. So it's funny. Well, it could be that dance or Paula something else.
It's actually quite a modern term. I was always wondered what you would call this. It's really just refers to a design that's painted onto fingernails. I love it.
Mm-hmm. The design on fingernails. You paint designs on a fingernail. That's a love it. That could be it. It could be the dance that starts with three and ends with two. Audience derision notwithstanding. Or it could be the Scottish camouflage, the dark green color. It could be one of those three, and the choice is yours, Murray.
Well, I should kind of know this because I have gotten, I remember when I was a kid getting fingernail designs, I got my hand slammed in a Chevy one time. But I don't remember anybody calling it a love it. Dark green, I just don't think so. I've never seen dark green on the Scottish landscape. It's always brown, yellow.
I've seen it on the New York subway.
That's right, exactly.
You could
I don't know. What I need help from my colleagues. What do you
Well, we were having a sidebar discussion.
Well, because I was speaking and you should have.
Yes,
please
go ahead.
Richard sometimes goes to the dance floor
First.
Sometimes you don't really even need to pay attention to what the bluff is. It's just sort of the category of thing. Oh yeah, that's a golf term. That's Richard. He would put that in. Or it was a bird yesterday. The waiting bird. Yes, that's Richard. So, I don't know. I'm tempted to just go with the dance because that was Arnie's description was sort of, you know, circumvented the.
Unless he was doing that on purpose.
He might have been doing it on purpose.
So in other words, this has nothing to do with the excellence of the bluffing on the other side. You're handicapping the host here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Because if you get caught up in that, you'll lose.
Well, frankly, I've never seen any of these words in any dictionary. So I'm assuming it's all
No, I don't... Design painted on fingernails.
If they were fingernails designs, I would have seen this sign... Perhaps
love it inside.
Right.
Might entice an entirely different customer.
Right. Get your love at this place. You know.
Yeah.
We used to have a clothing store in my town called Love It or Leave It, and there's a partnership.
So are we?
So it's a dance.
Is it a consensus for the dance?
You actually think it's the dance?
We think it's the dance.
Arnold. They think that Love It is the dance that starts with three and ends with two. Is that, in fact, what it is?
It's a threesome for golf, actually. No, it says please fake a definition.
Ah,
there it is. I can't believe.
Want to dance?
I'm thinking a dance for three people. How do they all know what they're doing?
I don't know. I just thought it was so crazy they would go for it.
All right, audience. It's your turn. What do you think?
Is it the camo?
How many say fingernails? How many?
Three.
How many
people
say Scottish camouflage?
Hey! It's fingernails.
Well, I think the Scottish camouflage is carrying the day, Carolyn. That was your definition. Is that, in fact, what it means?
I just love that dress. A dark green color mixture in tweed.
There it is.
Good
job, audience.
Tony
wearing, Tony is wearing it. And there it was. Right.
I don't want to show the dress. Do you mind? That's why I went into radio, for heaven's sake. Leave me alone, will you?
Let's go on to round three. Robert Kugel of Burlingame, California, and Martin Stillion of Edmonds, Washington, pretty much each came up with the exact same category. Basically, one name that represents two historical or famous figures. For example, if the clue were sensible Illinois senator or a guy who's still crazy after all these years...
Paul Simon.
It would be Paul Simon. There's one Paul Simon that fits both those descriptions.
I see. Same name.
So for 10 points, please translate the following convoluted pairings.
Those are humanims.
Yes.
Right. Humanims. It just goes to show what I know. I always thought that all those great songs were written by that guy with the bow tie in the center.
So for 10 points, please translate the following convoluted pairings into a single name. Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
Steam Powers Superior and Reagan's Interior.
Reagan's Interior. Well, the Secretary of the Interior, is that what we're looking for?
Oh, James Watt.
James Watt.
That's
James
what
Watt
for.
Is correct.
It's gonna be hard.
Oh, remember? Try this one. This is a tough one, Tony. Mm-hmm. Boomtown Depictor or Show Me Legislator?
Show Me. Oh, well, got to be from Missouri, so who's a legislator from Missouri?
Boomtown Depictor. Boomtown
Depictor,
of course.
Zane. Well, Zane Grey is the only guy that comes
Bret Hart, Thomas Hart.
Bret Hart.
Yeah, Boomtown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, don't you know. That's just go oil, ahead, boom.
He did novels about Boomtown.
Well,
Frank
what?
Norris.
It's actually
know.
Not a novel.
It's not a novel.
Not a novel.
It's nowhere near a book.
Oh, Robert W. Servant. No, he's Canadian.
Boomtown.
Missouri Senator.
A painter. Yes.
Thomas Hart Benton.
Thomas Hart Benton is right. Oh. A lot of clues. We'll give you, what do you think, 8 points? 8 points. You eventually got there. It is Thomas Hart Benton, who painted Boomtown and also the senator. Try this one. This is the toughest one, Arnie.
No, I got that one, so I don't want
to. Yeah, no. This is the toughest one, but it's a tribute to you. Films scathing figure and figure skater.
Scathing figure and figure skater.
Oh, it got quiet over there all of a sudden, didn't it?
Figure skater.
Film scathing figure. Just did it.
Is that a male or female figure skater?
Female.
Oh.
There's a little hint for you.
Peggy
Fleming.
Sonia Henie. Not Peggy Fleming.
It's an actress's name.
No.
It's not.
It's film somebody who scathing, is. Who
it's
is
an figure. Actor's.
It's an
name.
Actor's name.
Notorious. Somebody notorious?
Yep.
It's not Fatty Arbuckle. I don't know any skaters. Fatty Arbuckle.
Don't and say it out loud. Does anybody know?
No.
Okay,
it's a
couple people.
It's a female figure skater and a male.
Oh, it got quiet.
There's a male Tonya Harding? No.
Oh, I don't think they're going to get any help from anybody
what's,
up there.
What's a common male and female? Francis, somebody?
No. I think I'm
going to... I don't know of any women named Elvis Stoiko. I just...
No, right.
Elvis Stoiko.
Or any men named JoJo Starbuck?
Right. No. All right, audience, help him out.
Sasha Cohen.
Oh, yes.
Sasha Baron
That's
Cohen
great.
And Sasha...
Oh, wow. But Sasha has a C in it.
Yeah,
one of those
no, I don't care.
He doesn't.
And it's Sasha Baron Cohen. It's not
I was
for that week.
I'm so happy with that one. I'm just going with it.
Yeah,
I
you're
just thought that was
so
great.
Please, this punch.
Try this one. Now, this is a tough one, Lenore, but give it a shot. Dashing bird fancier and ornithological pioneer.
Well, somebody
a bird fancier, dashing bird fancier.
Yes, and that's in quotes. Bird is in quotes. Dashing bird fancier and ornithological
dashing
pioneer.
Bird fancier.
Well, ornithological pioneer would be, well, there's
Audubon,
not John James.
That's
Audubon.
Not Audubon.
Right? No,
it's not Clint Eastwood. Or, no.
A bird fancier.
Dashing bird fancier. Yeah.
So it would be a British actor, perhaps.
Yes.
Okay.
Peter
Bird. Michael Caine.
Oh, bird. Walter Pigeon.
Pigeon? That sounds good to me.
He's getting points for it.
No, he's not British.
You can do this.
O'Toole.
Who's an ornithological
fancier pioneer?
No, the bird.
Robert. The Birdman of Alcatraz was Robert Stroud.
Yeah, this is the bird fancier. I think is the
a bird
clue
is
here.
Is English slang for a gal.
That's right.
So it was a man about town. Connery was Scottish, Kane. So that doesn't work. It's not Michael Caine.
It's actually the character.
Oh,
Alfie.
No.
Who else is a bird fancier in English?
I don't think they're going to get it.
Dashing bird, ornithological pioneer.
Dashing bird fancier.
Dashing bird
ornithological pioneer. I don't think they're going to get it.
Well, I don't think we're going to get
Darwin?
It.
Any help from the other side?
Is it James Bond?
It is James Bond. Yes, James, which is where Ian Fleming got the name.
Fictional.
It is, in fact, James Bond.
I'm looking for a real person.
Yeah. I'm just not up to date on my ornithological pioneers.
Yes, well, that's where Ian Fleming got the name. And try this one, Paula. Irish Upriser and Tranquility Bypasser.
Oh, come on.
Irish Uprising.
I got that. That's easy.
Michael Collins.
Yeah. He's exactly right. Michael Collins is right.
I'm with Daniel O'Connell or something. What did I just answer? And why?
Michael Collins, because he was part of the Irish Rebellion and he was also in Apollo 11.
Yes.
And he was the guy who flew
he
the
was the flew,
around.
He flew around and didn't land, so he was the land. Tranquility, right. Sea of Tranquility bypasser.
I'm going to start drinking coffee like you do. I mean, I've got Irish written down here, and I got no further than that.
All right. And finally,
Mary Hartman.
I really like this category. I give credit to Robert Kugel and Martin Stillion. They really did a nice job.
Robert Kugel was really using his noodle.
My thoughts completely.
He was.
Okay.
But try this one, Murray, and nobody else in the room has a shot at this but you. The single name that would be indicated by the following clues, Bill Monroe's fiddleman and R2-D2's middleman.
Middleman?
Oh.
Bill Monroe's fiddleman and R2-D2's middleman.
R2-D2's middleman would be, who was Kenny Seidel? Who played fiddle is it Kenny Seidel? No. Who played fiddle for Bill Monroe?
Run, please, fellas. Look at them. The band is like, it's like, could be any one of a dozen guys.
Which era?
Right, exactly. Blue Moon of Kentucky.
I'm solo.
You were close. I thought you were going to get it at one point.
Isn't that awful? I'm blocking on
who played
the filmmaker.
Actor who played R2-D2?
Yes, sir.
He was a British actor.
It's not George Lucas.
Who was R2-D2? God, no.
He was short.
No, you wouldn't know that. No.
He was short.
That was C-3PO.
And went through.
The middleman? The person that was...
I don't think they're going to get
it. No.
Any help from the other side?
No, I can't remember.
No.
Any help from the band?
We had a lot of names.
Nah, yeah, I told you.
Any help from the audience?
Anthony Daniels?
No, that's C-3PO.
That's the big guy.
That's the big, yeah.
Kenny I'm sorry? Kenny Baker is exactly right. Kenny from the audience.
Very good.
Yes.
I don't know who the woman is up there, but she is beside herself with rapture.
It's Mrs. Monroe.
Kenny Baker is exactly right.
And I think Kenny Baker just became a National Endowment for the Arts National Heritage Fellow this year.
Oh, is that right? Congratulations, then. Congratulations are due. Let's go on to round four, which is Murray's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Paula, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word excutient.
Excutient.
E-X-C-U
T-I-E-N-T, excutient.
Illegal in Maine.
Gentlemen? Says you coming to our town. Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at saysyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Briefly, Says You pauses. Just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back. Stops in Hartford, Connecticut, Friday, October 12th, for one night only at the University of Hartford. And November 16th and 17th, we return to Syracuse, New York, for a little upstate wordplay. Add that to our September shows in Nashville, Tennessee, our October foray to Milwaukee, and our end-of-the-year special in Boston, and you have this year's fall schedule for Says You. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. Yeah. That is the Feral Cats. Please thank Mr. Doug Protzik on piano, Fred White on guitar, and the fabulous Frank Farrell on the fiddle. A great pleasure to have you with us today, gentlemen. Thank you again. We have had a few moments with the word excutient. We will go first to Tony Khan.
In a duel, there are usually two participants, but not always. Sometimes there's the excutient, or the person who begs forgiveness by saying, excuse me. I never meant it in the first place. I'm sorry. Can't you take a joke?
And then
what's
bang.
With that gun, anyway? Oh, sword you want? Did I tell you I've got a pain in my wrist? Okay. No, actually, an excutient is... I'm sorry, we've lost
starts
Richard.
Starts right here and goes all the way
all
around.
The way up here, right
goes
to the
all
shoulder.
Way in your arm.
Yeah. It's from beer manufacturing. It's the bottom of the barrel of beer. It's the leftover of beer mash. Oh, you think that's even funnier?
Have you ever drunk it? No. What do you want? You like a lot of foam or you want a little excution? Okay, if you don't...
Shake it up.
If you don't like a head on a glass of beer, how about a bottom?
I got caught back with the wrist thing and I never caught up. I just... So sorry.
I'm going with the second one, Richard.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
When does that ever matter?
What is it that you... It's something about beer, right?
It's the precipitant of beer... drop out of beer mash.
Ah.
It's at the bottom of the barrel of beer.
Ah, beer dregs.
Beer dregs.
Beer dregs is what right. We got. The excutant is the beer dregs down there. It could be it.
It's what? Either that or it's a way of preparing scrambles. Would you like your excutant?
could be that, too.
Just flipped over a couple of times.
Or a Lenore something else.
It is old, stale air.
I'm sorry, it is...
It's the name of the beer that...
That's the beer I drink.
Old, stale ale.
No, that's old, stale ale. Yeah, stale ale.
After the second one, yes.
Well, I guess we're getting a little ditzy here, aren't we now? We're starting to...
It is old, stale air. So it's the air that comes out after... after the
coffee. Really?
A ball that is inflated in a manufacturing facility or a balloon or something, air that has been contained by a ball or a balloon, when you let it out, that's called the excutant. I'm just saying what the card says.
Yeah, you're just saying.
Old stale
it's air.
It's confined.
Yes.
Sure.
It's been confined.
The old stale air.
Yeah, like you ever pop a beach ball or... Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. It's what it could be. Lord. Murray, it could be something else.
In poker. This is the kind of thing I imagine goes on in the summertime at a place where I've always wanted to visit but have never had the privilege, and that would be Monhegan Island. Here in Maine, one of the great and rare vacation spots in the United States. In any case, it can get really chilly there at night, but people at the beach during the day. And people come in from the cold and they shake, like any kind of like really, people on the air can't, or listening at home can't see me doing this, but I'm really shaking all my limbs at once, voluntarily, I should say. And so when you're shaking, like you're shaking the water off, or you come in from the cold and you're shaking to try and get warm, that's, you're being, excutant.
You're being excutient.
Well, or,
You want to...
Just read the card.
In other words, it's a shaking off.
Excutant is a shaking off.
Shaking off.
Right.
A shaking off.
Right.
My dog occasionally will be...
Will doubtless be excutant, right.
Okay.
It's either that or it's a stage manager who gave it up. He used to tell people when to go on stage, but now he's an excutant.
Well deserved.
You know what?
One in every crowd.
So this shaking off thing is excutant.
I forgot who the cat.
Okay, that's
it's what it says here.
Okay, it could be that. It could be old stale air. And then you got the beer dregs from long ago. So it's one of those three. And one of them is true, and I just can't believe that. But the choice, whose is it, Murray?
Well, that was the reason we were laughing here, because we forgot who the captain was.
Yes. Who is the captain?
I don't remember. Paula.
And the choice, Paula, is yours.
Fine.
Okay, then. We actually were making up our own definitions, which we prefer to any.
Sure.
So do we, actually.
Yeah. I was voting for a cuticle exfoliant, but Arnie was voting for a former cutient.
Just the former cutient.
Yes, an excutient, right.
I don't know. Carolyn thought maybe it was a firing squad, but instead we have beer mash, stale air, and a shaking off.
And a shaking off.
I would go for the shaking off.
I'm inclined in that direction.
I'm just inclined.
I'm very inclined. No, you're reclined. Yes. But I don't know. I just don't think it's the beer dregs. It could be the old stale air that's formerly inside something.
I don't think you need a word for it.
I think it's a shaking off.
He's shaking off too much of it.
And, you know, as usual.
All right.
Not that he doesn't make a lot of just about everything.
Well, to keep it short and to quote Mel Brooks, what ho, Murray?
What ho, Murray?
We think it's a shaking off.
Whole lot of shaking going on.
Yeah.
Murray, they have come to the conclusion that excutient is something about shaking off. Is that in fact what it is?
In poker, excutient, shaking off. For example, the excutient dog showered the sunbathers.
10 points for Paula's team. Let's close tonight. Back we go to our safe place. Another round of art on radio. I will give you the names of paintings created by a famous artist one at a time, from the more obscure to the more well-known. The faster you can tell me the artist, the more points you'll amass.
Walt Disney.
For example, if I said Crying Girl.
Crying Girl?
No. To that I added Torpedo Los.
Torpedo Los?
Yeah.
L-O-S?
Yeah. And to Crying Girl and Torpedo Los, I added Blam.
It must be Warhol.
Roy Lichtenstein.
Let's try this, shall we? All right, Carolyn, try this.
All right.
Mona Lisa, circa 1979.
Circa 1979.
Yes.
Let's see.
Mona Lisa, circa 1979.
I don't think it's Warhol.
But it is.
Is it?
10 points.
Okay.
Nice job.
All right. Yes, thank you.
To that, we were going to add Gun, 8 Elvises, and Campbell's Soup, but you did not need that. Try this one, Tony. Composition number 10.
Composition number 10. Could that be... Well, could it be not Miro?
No.
Not Tanguy?
No, I was thinking maybe, did Mondrian call those compositions?
Yeah, Mondrian.
Mondrian is exactly right. Meet Mondrian. Boy, you guys are eating this one alive. You didn't need Broadway Boogie Woogie, Rhythm of Straight Lines, or Composition with Red, Yellow, and Blue. All Pete Mondrian. Okay. All right, try this one, Arnie. The Art of Painting. And I didn't know this one. I don't know what this is. Someone can help
painting.
Me out. The Art of Painting.
No, it's not that. It's not,
the
not
Art gonna, of Painting.
No, I don't think they're going to get this.
No, go ahead.
To The Art of Painting, add The Milkmaid.
It's not Duchamp, is it? No.
No, it is not.
The Milkmaid.
Corot?
No, good guess, though.
Millet?
The Milkmaid Falling.
To The Art of Painting and The Milkmaid, add Woman in Blue Reading a Letter.
Not Picasso?
Blue Reading a Letter. Not Degas.
No.
You.
And to The Art of Painting, The Milkmaid, and Woman in Blue Reading a Letter, add Girl with a Pearl Ear.
Yeah, Vermeer.
Vermeer is exactly right. That is 4 points. They get 4 points for that.
Yeah.
Try this one, Lenore.
Yeah.
Three pairs of shoes.
Van Gogh.
Van Gogh is exactly right.
Thanks, Lenore.
Lenora da Vinci.
Yeah.
Lenore.
You didn't need The Potato Eater, Self-Portrait with Straw Hat, or Portrait of Postman Joseph Roulin.
Off the hook.
All right, let's make them a little harder, see if we can get anywhere with this. Paula, Mrs. Ezekiel Goldthwait.
Mrs. Ezekiel Goldthwait?
Oh, that old thing.
This is a tough one.
Copley?
Copley.
I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
Boy, these were supposed to be hard, but I guess not.
Well, it will be now.
Yeah. The death of Major Francis Pearson and Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, none of that was necessary. John Singleton Copley. And finally, try this one, Murray. Sky and water.
Oh.
Yeah. Do you know this?
Yeah.
Georgia O'Keeffe? I was thinking Diebenkorn, but, you know, who did all those?
No, it is neither.
We say Georgia O'Keeffe.
It is not.
Okay.
To sky and water add ascending and descending.
Oh. Well, new descending.
Always got, you know, what's his face? The Dripper.
Dolly?
Jack the Dripper. You know.
Jackson Pollock?
Jackson Pollock. Jackson.
No, it is not
Jackson Pollock. Okay.
Jack the Dripper.
Jack the Dripper. Try to sky and water and ascending and descending add drawing hands.
Oops. Oh. Oh, that's, you know, the guy who has the...
Escher.
M.C. Escher is exactly right. M.C. Escher. You didn't need... That's 6 points for that. You didn't need convex and concave. It was a nice way to close, but it wasn't enough. Not on a day when Paula's team was going to score 83 points. They are the winners this week. Congratulations to Paula Lyons. That is... That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Kathy Sherrill and all the folks here at the Booth Bay Opera House for making it special and for making it easy. And special thanks again to Charles Beck and the folks at Maine Public Broadcasting for bringing us back to Maine. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Richard Scher and Philip Salkind are the writers. Noah Cole mans the meter. Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. We leave today with the story of the Maine farmer, who after a USGS survey told him his farm was actually over the border in New Hampshire, said, "That's good. I could not take another one of these Maine winters." Thanks. Thanks for braving the elements, Bert Fay. See you next week.
Support for Seju in Booth Bay Harbor, Maine, comes from the Booth Bay Opera House and the good folks at Maine Public Broadcasting, on the web at mpbn.net. Benjamin, give them the skinny.
Seju, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
At Goodwill Industries of Middle Tennessee and its 17 Career Solution Centers located throughout Middle and West Tennessee, and through generous donations of gently used items, career counselors work one-on-one with thousands of Tennesseans to provide job search, computer training, and employment services to clients from all backgrounds who are in need of a job or encouragement and guidance in their search. Career counselors also work with employers and community partners to identify job-ready candidates. Learn more at goodwillcareersolutions.org.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
For weeks now, we've been talking about